Let's turn in God's Word to the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth in chapter 4, in which we'll read the whole chapter, Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Ruth chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, these are God's words, and so give your attention to them. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elder and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed of which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, This is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. And Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Those are God's words. There is a great deal, a great amount of information and good things that we could find in this chapter. Not only of the fulfilling of Deuteronomy 25 and the law in Israel at the time of marrying of a brother's widow, but so too, as Boaz goes to the city gate to speak of his other nearer relation to Naomi, and thus Ruth to buy Naomi's field, which it seemed had been mortgaged, in our terms, during the famine for bread. And that going along with the year of Jubilee and the laws dealing with that. And thus, also not only for this field of Naomi's, but to acquire Ruth with it for a wife. But to do so, to take this, would be to jeopardize the other man, the one who takes it, his inheritance, and the inheritance that he leaves to his children, his sons. And we notice here, Boaz is honest. He's not dealing with trickery, trying to get the land and Ruth. But he puts before his relative as it is, no more, no less. And that teaches us an easy lesson of that we ought to be honest in our affairs and fair. Dealing with property, dealing with selling and buying of goods and things like this. And to buy the land would mean here to marry Ruth as well, according to Naomi's stipulation. But this relative was not willing to buy the land. He was willing to buy the land, but not to marry Ruth. And so he would not buy the land. Ruth was poor, and she was a Gentile. And marrying her, she would produce many children and take part of that inheritance from whoever married her. Those children would. And so he was the closer relative. He was against it, which gives the right to Boaz now to buy this land at a very huge cost to him, because it, in a sense, had been, in our terms, mortgaged, and also to marry Ruth. Boaz, beloved, looked with compassion, though, upon the poor state of Ruth and redeemed her from that low estate that she was in. And in the same way, Jesus Christ pointed to by Boaz here, with great compassion, Jesus is our everlasting Redeemer who looked upon with compassion the deplorable state of fallen mankind, and at an infinite expense He redeemed our heavenly inheritance for us. And we ourselves bought with a price which by sin was mortgaged and forfeited into the hands of divine justice, of which we would ourselves never be able to redeem. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who bought us with a price, but in the same way He purchased a peculiar people. So not only is this pointing to the gospel, it also points us to the who the gospel goes to. As He purchased a peculiar people, there are many strangers and foreigners like Ruth, poor, despised Gentiles. And that the name of the dead and the buried people of the Gentiles would not be cut off forever, but redeemed out of slavery, out of sin, Christ redeemed them too and granted life to them in Him alone, to all who believe. And this again shown in the great honor brought to Ruth, but so too to Boaz by His great sacrifice here pointing to Christ's final sacrifice. Boaz and Ruth are eternally made into the line of generations that lead to Jesus Christ Himself. And so Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat King David. David the king, of whom comes Jesus, King of Kings, and our Redeemer. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for Your Word. We're thankful that this book teaches us of Your love and how You redeem Your people by purchasing us at a great and infinite expense of Your own Son and His sacrifice for us. To be made one of Your people and adopted into the family of God. But not only adopted, but to be made in union with Jesus Christ. We're thankful for this and how blessed we are, as the vast majority of us are Gentiles. We're thankful for the promises that are throughout the Scriptures of not only the Jews coming in, but the Gentiles too. That You have raised up the poor, the degenerate, depraved, and desperate people who need to be saved and delivered from themselves and their sin and their wretched state. You've bought them out of that slavery and brought them to freedom in Christ, freedom from our sins and slavery to sin. And we're thankful for this and the gospel. And we're thankful of this book also showing us the great and godly example of a Gentile who covenants with the Lord and loves the Lord and is faithful to live a godly life to Jehovah. We pray that we would be likewise, like Ruth in this case, to live a godly life for our Savior has died for us and sacrificed all for us, that we would then be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in your sight and in your nostrils, that you would receive us for Christ's sake. And Father, today we do praise you and we're thankful for the Church of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for one another. We're thankful for how you call us to be together on this your day. And not only the fellowship that we are privileged to have with one another, and having been reconciled to one another, having been reconciled to you, Father, we also get the great privilege of worshiping you. And Father, we pray that we would put this in our hearts, that it is the most important in all of life, what we do every Lord's Day in worshiping you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we also ask that you would turn our hearts from our sins. We've broken your commandments. We've broken covenant with you. We've broken the vows that we've made before you. And we ask now that you would make us to pay our vows by your Spirit, that you would cleanse us of all those sins of breaking your commandments, where we have not only failed to keep your commandments, but where we have rejected your commandments and rebelled against them and rebelled against you. Turn us from such wickedness that is still remaining in our hearts to you, the living God, and shower upon us your mercy, for we deserve the pains of hell forever. And yet, show us that covenant loving kindness and long suffering, patience towards us. Not because of that we're deserving of that, we are not, but because of your Son Jesus Christ, who, even as we did study in Sabbath school, we've been adopted and brought into your family. And so we ask that you would treat us not as foreigners, but as sons and daughters. And that your chastisement would show forth your love to us. And that you would not judge us forever. And so in this way we ask that you would shower upon us your grace. Father, we have also not loved our neighbor. And so we sinned against our neighbor and thus sinned against you. And Father, keep us from these sins, wicked sins that really show our flesh, the flesh warring against the Spirit, and where we quench the Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us of these sins as well. And we know that you will forgive us as we confess our sins to you. We seek to turn to Christ, but we cannot do this apart from your grace and your Holy Spirit. And so as we confess our sins, we ask that you would be faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For we look to our mediator, our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, not to ourselves, but to Jesus Christ. And so receive us for his sake and receive us back again like the prodigal son's father who ran to us, runs to us and embraces us. We pray that you would embrace us, Father, and you would grant us your love. And Father, we do ask that you would be with some of our congregation who are struggling in their bodies today. We pray for Michelle that you would heal her of her sickness, and Jake and Marissa and their children. Pray for Ezekiel and those in the Nichols family that are still sick. We ask that you would show that you, again, even as we're going to read in Matthew 4 today, you are the great healer, that Christ is the great physician who heals not only souls but bodies. And so, Father, heal us. Heal all of us and protect us from sickness. We even pray for Patricia that you would heal her of her cancer. We ask that you would be with Dina and heal her of her long-term malady and ailment that she's gone through, and the struggles that she has now on top of that in her body. And we pray for Sue, Jeff's wife. I ask that you would heal her and strengthen her body as well, that you would grant all of us great strength and energy, that we would serve you well and according to your will, but that we would serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, body and soul. And so help us in these things, Father. And Father, we pray for our nation, on the wickedness that happens in our nation, amongst its citizens and leaders. Father, forgive us of our sins as citizens, and make us godly citizens, that we would proclaim the gospel faithfully to those we come in contact with, that they would hear and believe, and that you would bring about a great, true Holy Spirit revival and changing the hearts of many throughout this nation, even and especially our leaders, that they would turn to Christ and they would covenant with Christ your Son and commit themselves to the way of Jehovah and not the way of Satan and the father of lies. And if they do not, Father, and if it's not your will, then we know that your judgments will come and have been coming. And so, Father, we pray that your will would be done, and you would uphold us, your people, for the few righteous who remain, that you would be granted all praise and glory, even from us who might be persecuted or suffer, that we would continuously praise your name, even in the midst of such trials. And in these things, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.